Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for this morning found in St. Matthew chapter 2. And Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." This is God's word. Have any of you started a Bible reading plan for the new year? There's lots of ways to do it. We usually in the bulletin print a series of readings you can read each week, but a lot of people will resolve to start the new year by reading the Bible from cover to cover. And you know where they get hung up, don't you? You can get through Genesis, okay. There's a lot of familiar stories in there we remember from Sunday school. Exodus, that's kind of an exciting book. Then you get to Leviticus. That's kind of messy and bloody. And then there's Numbers, which the book is more or less what it says. A lot of numbers, a lot of census taking and counting of the people of Israel. And a lot of Christians likely kind of, yeah, I'll read it some other time when they get to that point. We sometimes have a complicated relationship with the Old Testament because we don't get a lot of it. A lot of it is confusing. You know what? That's true for me as a pastor as well. About 19 times out of 20, when I preach on the gospel from the New Testament, which is in Greek, because I don't like Hebrew. And that's what the Old Testament's written in. When I was in seminary, there were guys who either loved Greek and guys who loved Hebrew. I was not one of the Hebrew guys. It's a weird language. It reads from right to left. And the alphabet looks nothing like our alphabet. At least the Greek alphabet's, you know, it's kind of close. Hebrew just was too difficult for me. Hebrew, like, there's far less words in the Hebrew language than there are in other languages. So, for example, I don't like how that's not specific. Let me give you an example of why I don't like it. Exodus chapter 19. We get a really familiar hymn from out of there. On eagle's wings, right? He will raise you up on eagle's wings, we sing, right? Comes from Exodus 19. I've carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I've brought you out of Egypt on eagle's wings. The thing is, in Hebrew, they don't have a specific word for eagle. They have one word that can mean basically any large bird of prey. So while we're singing eagle's wings, it could just as well be vulture's wings or buzzard's wings or something like that. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue, does it? But lately, as I've matured a little bit in ministry, and I know for some of you here, it's weird for me to call myself old. My kids think I'm old, though, so they're right. As I get older and spend more times in ministry, my love for the Old Testament has really, really deepened. And I think our gospel today from Matthew chapter 2 from the New Testament affords us the opportunity to look at the Old Testament in a new and more appreciative light. There was an article I read back in September of 2019, just a few months ago, written by a Lutheran theologian and writer named Chad Bird. And Chad Bird wrote this article called "The One Page of the Bible I'd Like to Rip Out." It's like, oh, that's a provocative title. Here's a fellow Lutheran, Missouri Synod Lutheran, someone who I would think values the Bible like me. He's saying, there's a page I want to rip out of the Bible. And the page he says he wants to rip out is the one in our Bibles between the Old Testament and the New Testament, where it just says the New Testament, as though you're starting a new, entirely different section. He says that we need to remember to read the Bible as one continuous text from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. Now, I know all of you have kind of varying different levels of familiarity with the Old Testament. Some of you remember the Sunday school stories. You remember hearing Adam and Eve and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You remember Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. You remember Moses being put as a baby in the river by his parents and being taken into Pharaoh's household. You remember the plagues, and you remember Israel being brought out of Egypt and brought into a land of promise. You remember David and Goliath. You remember all these different stories of the Bible. But what do they have to do with Jesus? What do they have to do with our salvation? And that's where we do well to remember it's all one story. And we do well to remember that it is all about Jesus. From the very beginning, way back in Genesis, to the very last page of Revelation, your Bible is all about Jesus Christ, your Lord, who saves you from sin. And that's what Matthew is showing us today in our gospel. Matthew's saying, look at your Old Testament and see how it shows you Jesus. See how it shows you your Savior from sin. Because here in our gospel, Jesus is carried off into Egypt by his parents to escape the wrath of Herod. Herod is furious that someone has come who is being hailed as a king, worshipped as a king by the Magi. And so he sets out to kill every male child in Bethlehem who's 2 years or younger. It's horrible. It's gruesome. And so an angel warns Joseph and Mary to take Jesus away, and they take him to Egypt. And then when it's safe, Joseph and Mary come out of Egypt and return. And Matthew does something amazing here. He's doing it all throughout his gospel. He says, this was to fulfill what the prophet said. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Hosea chapter 11, that's where that's from. Where the Lord says through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. But if you were an Old Testament person, if you were an Israelite reading and hearing Hosea's words, and God says, out of Egypt I called my son, you would think he's talking about Israel. Israel was the son of God who was in Egypt. He went there when he was reunited with his son Joseph. We heard that in our Old Testament reading. So what Matthew's showing us is that whole story back in the Old Testament about Israel and them becoming slaves and them being brought out of Egypt and them going to a promised land. He's telling us that whole story is about Jesus. Because Jesus went down to Egypt and then came out of it to go to a land of promise, to go to heaven. Where what does it say he does in John chapter 14? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? That story in the Old Testament of Israel and their slavery and their deliverance, it's all about Jesus. And that should change the way you and I look at our Bibles. I don't know if you've decided to read your Bible more this year. I hope that you have. Now, I don't care if it's January 5th. You can start on the 5th. It's not too late. But why do we even read our Bibles? What's the point of it all? I mean, for a lot of people, maybe the Bible just kind of remains on the shelf and gets a little dusty. You've all heard the story about the Bible that looks as brand new as the day it was purchased, even though it's 20, 30, 40 years old, because it hasn't really been used. But even for those of us who are a little more diligent with reading our Bibles, it's easy to think that, well, you know, what's the Bible there for? It's to show me how to live the life God wants me to live. But you know what? Things are going pretty good right now, so we don't feel as compelled to open that Scriptures page. And we tend to go to God's Word when maybe things are bad, or when we're feeling a little rudderless, as though we need some direction, or when we need to feel a little bit closer to God because we feel a little bit distant because maybe we've been doing some bad things. Some people think the Bible's there to show me how to live a good life that will please God. Some people think the Bible's there to show me how to love my neighbor and how to be a kind person in this world. Some people think the Bible's there to tell me about the future and what the world will be like and what to expect when Jesus comes again. And that's all true. The Bible does do all of those things. But first and foremost, your Bible exists to show you Jesus, because it's all about him from cover to cover. Back in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, chapter 3 verse 15, as God is speaking to the serpent, he speaks what we call the proto-evangelion. That's a fancy word. It means the first gospel, because there Jesus is promised for us. Genesis 3:15, the Lord says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The one born of woman, born on Christmas, born of Mary, was born to crush the head of the serpent. That was Jesus. And there he is, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, being promised to us, being promised to you. Because it's always been all about Jesus. And Jesus himself tells us that over and over. Matthew chapter 5, later on in Matthew's gospel, do not think, he says, that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. He's talking about the Old Testament. Throughout Luke, he does it all the time. In the synagogue, he says to the people, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, he says after reading from a scroll of Isaiah. When he walks on the road to Emmaus with two disciples, he interprets to them, Luke tells us, in the scriptures, all things concerning himself, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. And before he ascends into heaven, he says to his apostles, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. In other words, it has always been all about Jesus. Him coming to die for your sins, take them upon his body, and give you eternal life. And that means that we should remember that it is no accident that Jesus came to save sinners. It has always been God's plan from eternity. From before the creation of the world, God knew and planned to save you. It's always been his plan to love you and save you through the blood of his Son. No matter how great your sin, no matter how terrible your guilt and your shame, when he said that he loves his people, he meant you. It's not as though you can come up with some sin that will mess up his plan and cause him to say, oh, I'm gonna save the whole world except for maybe Laura and Brian and Bruce. No. When he said the world, he meant you. When Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, when he planned to do this from the very foundation of the world, he meant the world. He meant you. Scripture's message has always been all about Jesus. On every page, in every verse, God's word is given to you so that you would see Jesus. So you would see his love and forgiveness for you that never, ever, ever fails. We talked about it during the Advent season, and again here in the Christmas season. And we will continue to always look to Jesus. It is word. And where he takes his word, joins it to bread and wine, and says, "This is my body. This is my blood." There we see Jesus. If you have any resolution for the year to come, this isn't one that when you screw it up in the third week of January or the second week of February or the beginning of March that you just, "Oh, that's done with. I don't have to worry about that now." Let always our resolve be to see our Lord Jesus, whom God holds before us, always. He preserved his life by sending him to Egypt to get away from Herod's wrath, because it was always his plan to save you. Death didn't come for Jesus when Herod was killing the little children. But death would come for Jesus. It came for him because it was always God's plan. It was always his intent to let you know you are loved, you are forgiven. And now that story of being brought out of Egypt, it's the story of Jesus, but you know what? It's our story as well. Israel was a people held in bondage, but God sent a deliverer, Moses, to free them from bondage, to lead them out of slavery, bring them through the wilderness, and lead them into a land of promise. That's your story as well, and mine. We're slaves to sin. Slaves to sin, deserving of death and damnation and eternal suffering and condemned to it. But in Jesus Christ and baptized into him, brought into him, his story becomes our story. We've been brought out of sin. And now we travel through the wilderness of this world. But you know what? A land of promise awaits us. A new heaven and new earth foretold throughout Scripture. Told to us in Revelation. A new heaven and a new earth. A new Jerusalem. A new garden. Where we are brought to live as God's dear children. When the Lord said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son," he was talking about Israel. He was talking about Jesus. And because you're baptized into Jesus, that means he's talking about you. You are God's son, his child, for whom he has always seen fit to save. It has always been all about Jesus and his love for you that never fails, and the sonship he gives you so that you are sons as he is the son who pleases his father. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.